up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media.
You are tuned into the Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in inspirational talk radio, with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present the Up to Me radio show with your host, Gabby G, and today's special guest, Ms. Sharon Wilharm. So let's get this conversation started. Good morning, Gabby G.
Good morning, Mel D. Well, I believe the Lord is saying that this is the year of breakthrough, and I hope all of you listening are believing for yours today. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on Up to Me Radio, where the voices of the self-empowered are heard, and that means you. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if this is the first time you are listening to the program, my mother used to call me Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to. But I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me because we have one amazing movie and inspirational guest in our lineup this morning, plus a little featured surprise. Each week, I will welcome our guests and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. We will also have a very special segment in our show for you to share your up-to-me moments when you faced your reality, found your courage, and made a decision for action to make a change in your life. Here at Up to Me, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. I cannot express that enough. Please, please don't feel shy about participating in our program because we really do want to hear from you. I also want to express a special thank you to Mel D, Allie Ward, and the entire Atlanta Life Media team, and to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. You can hear the song in its entirety at the close of our show, and if you like it, please let me know by sending me a message on our new Facebook page. Send it to Gabby at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, and in a future show, we will provide you with the details of how you can purchase the song. If you want to join me in today's discussion, please call in now to get the on-air cue at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. The number again is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Then hold on and enjoy the show, and we will bring you on air shortly. Well, today I would like to announce a newly instituted series here on Up to Me Radio, where once a month we will be featuring filmmakers, actors, and artists in the entertainment industry. This will be referred to as our Up to Me Radio Filmmaker Spotlight. I am very excited to have as my first guest of this series one of the finest and most well-respected writer, director, producer, and filmmakers in the Christian entertainment genre. She and her husband, Fred, have been making feature films for the past decade with their production companies Faith Flicks Films and Main Street Productions, best known for their award-winning features Class of 91, Flowers for Fanny, and the nationally acclaimed film The Good Book. Winning numerous awards for her writing and directing herself, I am very honored and proud to have with us this morning Faith Flicks Films, Ms. Sharon Campbell Wilharm. Good morning, Sharon. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, today we're going to be talking with you about your latest film project, a beautifully communicated romance set for a Valentine's Day weekend release on February the 12th called Providence. But before we get started, I wanted to chat with you a bit about your company, FaithFlix Films and Main Street Productions, award-winning independent film companies that you and your husband, Fred, formed and grew in the past decade. I read that Fred graduated with a communications degree and you were a school teacher. So tell us about the journey the two of you made to become the well-known filmmakers you are today.
Well, Fred always had a passion for film, and that's why he went to school for it. It really did not occur to me ever that that would be something I would do, but I remember I always thought I was going to go into a life of ministry, and I remember walking down the aisle, and I'm like, I don't get it, God. I thought I was going to be in ministry, and I'm marrying a businessman because at the time he owned Coin Laundries, and I'm thinking it doesn't make any sense. But then we discovered that his interest in, you know, filmmaking, and then I had always had a passion for writing and drama, and it just merged. And we discovered that our talents were each unique, and put together we could work really well making movies. And so that's what we've been doing now. And at first, it took a while, but we like to try really hard and get better with each one, and now we truly do enjoy working together and making movies together.
Well, that's just amazing to me. He owned a coin laundry business?
He actually had a whole chain of them, and he would do the commercials and, you know, do like little videos for people locally, but it didn't occur to him. We lived in Florida, and in Florida, there just at the time, there wasn't really a filmmaking opportunity. And so we had no idea what God had in store for us when he put us together.
I love that you said you're walking down the aisle and you're like, what am I doing marrying a businessman when I want to be a ministry? Oh, my goodness.
I really did. But it's so neat because he was saying, just wait. You're going to have a ministry like you had no idea to even expect.
That's a really a unique but a very beautiful story, because we have our own plans, and I always like to say, and then God laughs because he's like, I have something so much better for you. But you're right. I love how you said he blended your unique gifts and talents, and look what he created. You certainly do have a ministry, and what a ministry you have too, because your films, which I want to talk about next, your latest film project, Providence. That's a silent film. So how did you come up with the premise of that film?
Well, we had the idea for the story a number of years ago. We were driving along, and I've always loved the idea of God's will in our life. It's just something that has fascinated me, and how God works behind the scenes, and we don't always see his hand. And so I had this idea, what if we had this couple, and they were meant to be together, but one or the other kept not doing whatever they were supposed to be doing. And so God kept providing these opportunities for them to get together, but they didn't take advantage of it. And so they kept not getting together. And through these years, they just kept not being where they were supposed to be until later in life that they finally got together. And so we started talking about how we would do this movie, and we're like, well, it would have to span so long, and it just wouldn't be logistic. Nobody, you know, you couldn't do a movie to do that. And so we dismissed it as too difficult and forgot all about it until I had already... We did, I think this was even before Flowers for Fanny, and then we did The Good Book, and then when I started working on another script, I was like halfway in it, and I'm like, wait a second, this is that idea that we had all those years ago. I'm writing it, and it's working now. So the
idea grew out of the film The Good Book? The initial...
Well, no. It was before that. It was just this idea, you know, it was just an idea we had, and then we dismissed it thinking, oh, it'll never work, and then we moved on to other projects.
I see.
And then it just popped up again.
Well, that's because the Lord wanted that story to be told, and and it is a beautiful, beautiful story, and in a few minutes we'll talk about the nuances and the messages that are in the film that'll come out. I don't want any spoiler alerts or anything, but I'm not gonna do that. But there is a lot of amazing things that come out of that film that I want to talk about. But why? And this is what I thought was interesting, but lovely at the same time. Is why did you choose a silent film to tell this story?
Well, this is actually our second silent film. The Good Book was our first. And with that, we had this idea about this Bible being passed along to all these people, that their lives were interconnected, and how God was using this. And we were trying to figure out how we could do it. Our biggest fear is like having that whole cheese factor, you know, with getting really good dialogue and everything. And we're like, how can we avoid that? And Brad and I are sitting in this Mexican restaurant talking, and he's like, we need to really show, not tell. What if we did it literally? If we literally showed, not told. And I'm like, you mean like a silent movie? And all of a sudden we're looking around like somebody is going to steal this idea from us. I don't know what we were thinking, but we're like, why hadn't anybody done this? This is just such a smart idea. And we just got so excited about it. And then it was, well, can it be done? You know, can you tell a story that way? And so he had done music videos, and so he had that kind of experience. And I had done a lot of drama with interpretive drama, so we were used to telling a story visually. But, you know, it's not like you can get a book on how to write a screenplay for a silent movie. They don't exist because nobody else is doing it. So one day I just sat down and I said, I'm just going to write and see if it works. And that day I wrote like 7 pages, and I'm like, I can do this. We can tell this story. And it just worked. And what got really excited about, like, with a good book is because it has a very strong evangelical message, we're like, this can go around the world. It can break cultural and language barriers because there's no language in the way. And so then started working with Providence. The story that we didn't think would work logistically all those years ago actually worked as a silent film because you don't hear those actors talking and you're just watching them. And I think it helps that 40-year gap when there's no dialogue. It just makes it flow better.
How do you write for a silent film? Because you said you started writing. I'm like, what? How do you write for a silent film?
That might sound like a stupid question, but
that's interesting.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I would feel kind of weird when we would send it to actors because it doesn't look like a screenplay. It looks like basically a description, and I would try to be very descriptive in what was happening, what you saw.
I see.
Trying to paint a visual picture. And so basically it was just telling everybody involved, this is what it's going to look like. And so then everybody else had, you know, everybody had to figure out, how can we create this picture?
Wow. Well, I was just, and then that brings me to the next question that I had in my mind was, how does a silent film create different challenges than a traditional film? And then what advantages did you find was revealed for everyone while you were filming that?
Well, the advantages is easy. We love making silent movies because it is so freeing. Without having to record sound, you don't have to worry about the lawnmowers or the airplanes or the motorcycles because we live in a small town. And anytime we start filming outside, everybody in town wants to drive around and look.
Right.
It's the cars, the trucks, the motorcycles and everything. And we even had this one neighbor who, he was mowing, and we were trying to film, and he wouldn't stop mowing, so we went over and said, could you please stop, you know? And so then it was so funny when we did the silent movie. We're like, okay, you don't have to worry about it now. You can just mow all you want. And it was just so freeing for the actors, too, because they didn't have to worry. The ones who are off camera, they can be off talking, and you're not having to yell all the time, quiet on the set. But also for the actors who are in the scene, they're not having to focus on their lines. They're able to just get into the character and just really feel it. And so, you know, people ask, were they really talking? Well, yeah, they were actually having conversations with each other as the characters, how they felt. And it's funny, like with Irene, when she had her stroke, you know, you can't hear her or anything, but she's actually talking like,
Wow.
And so everybody was just so into their character that the actors were like, I'm getting spoiled. I only want to do this for now.
Wow.
It's so much better.
And she was phenomenal in that, Irene. She was phenomenal.
She worked so hard, and she would just, you know, really get into character. And it was so funny because Julie's there helping her walk. And Julie, you know, it's like, you know, they're like basically the same age. Eventually, she would get so out of character that she would forget that Irene wasn't helpless. But now, the disadvantage is just getting people to take a chance on watching a silent movie because they're thinking it's going to be some black and white thing with a bunch of painted faces or something like that.
Like mimes or something.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we try to tell people, you know, just it's not like that. Just watch it and you'll catch on. You'll figure out what's going on. But that's the biggest disadvantage is for people to take a chance on it.
Well, do you have to cast actors differently for a silent film? Do you think it requires a distinct talent to be able to tell a story without words in order to reach the heart of the audience?
I really think it does because... You know, it's a lot easier to just say the lines. And you know, the actors, they just focus on those lines and everything. But without the lines, they have to truly get into the character. And it's interesting because we didn't set out this way, but we discovered that a large portion of the actors that we ended up with all had a theater background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just kind of interesting because I think the theater skills actually works really well on... You know, for a silent movie, perhaps more so. You know, I mean, it's different skills that you have with film and theater, but a lot of them had that theater, and I think it really helped them. I think some people, I remember with a good book, with one of the film festivals, they had a thing for, you know, acting, and the director of the film festival said one of the judges asked him, well, how do you judge acting in a silent film if they're not talking?
Oh, my goodness.
Just watch it. You'll get it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where they told them, yeah, I get it.
Right. And if you do get it, that's your answer. Because the talent that's behind to be able to portray that story and that emotion and that heart is part of the great talent of the actors. And is it hard for you to – do you have specific people in mind when you're casting for that? Like you said, are you looking for people that have particular theater skills, or how did you go about casting? How did the Lord lead you to the particular cast for Providence?
Well, this one was more complex than your typical one because we had to cast three people in each role. And then, you know – we had to cast the people that look like them. And I spend a lot of time with prayer when we're casting. To me, it's very important, not just, you know, acting abilities or whatever, but it needs to be the right person that is passionate about that project, someone who is going to, that they need that project and that, you know, they're going to, I don't know, I just want it to be a blessing to each of the actors.
Aww.
And so I pray, you know, it's very important to me casting who we cast. And, you know, it was, of course, very challenging trying to find actors that all looked alike. There were so many extremely talented actors that we couldn't cast because they didn't look like anybody else that was, you know, auditioning.
And that's because they're, you're showing a timeline throughout the film. So there's a young Mitchell, teenage Mitchell, and then there's an adult Mitchell. So you're saying you have to find three actors that are going to kind of look like they've evolved into the adult.
And
wow.
What was funny with the girls is that all three of them had, you know, we would look at all these different, you know, headshots and different every different picture we could find of them and put them down on the ground and look at their eyes to see if they had, you know, similar eyes, nose, you know, facial structure. And we found pictures with all three of those where they had auburn hair. And so we loved that that gave them a distinctive look, having that reddish tint so they would kind of, you know, be this thread through. We discovered afterwards that, with the exception of the youngest, Stacy and Julie didn't even naturally have red hair. They just had, at some point, had had red hair. So,
like myself. That's like me.
Exactly.
I used to have auburn hair growing up, and then it turned brown and gray, so now I dye it to my original color.
Exactly, but it was funny because then they ended up all coloring their hair to match, and so they kind of got together and said, yeah, let's all, you know, try to, and so they were going back and forth with that, so it gave it, I think, a kind of cool touch, you know, so they all looked alike. And it was funny because when they got to meet each other, Julie looked at Emily and she's like, that is what I look like when I was that age.
Wow, that's neat. See, and I love how the Lord puts those ideas and thoughts into your process for casting too, because that's what makes the film genuine and authentic. And you know what? The movie, even though the movie takes place like in the modern day era, it spans from December 1974 to 2014. This is what I love. The characters' clothes, the cars, and the setting in that small town. And it reminded me actually about where I grew up in Baltimore. All our houses were like post-World War II, and you have Victorian houses, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful cinematography. And it seemed to reveal a simpler and timeless theme, like Main Street USA, it could be anybody's town. And I think that that adds to the general theme of the movie for me, that, you know, a great love, which is, this is a love story, and it's a beautiful love story, but great love can happen in simple lives. And that's a lot of thought and ingenuity goes into creating that kind of emotion on film. And I just want to know how you do that, because it's very, very unique.
Well, that's one thing. You know, we are not edgy people. We are small town kind of people.
Love it.
And I really try to capture that. And people give me kind of a hard time, because when you watch any of my movies, you will not see modern things. Like, I don't, even if the thing, if the movie takes place in modern times, I try to avoid computers. We did have a cell phone in Providence at one point, because Julie had to answer her phone to find out about her mother. But other than that, I try to avoid technology and try to avoid anything that dates the movie, so that it has that classic feel. So you don't look at it and, you know, think, I know exactly what year that is because of that particular fashion or that particular hairstyle or whatever. I just want it to be timeless and classic so that people of all different times will be able to relate to it.
And you do that beautifully, because, and you know what, let's talk about the clothes. Because you do a workshop on that, which I actually was in attendance for, and I was blown away by that. Because the clothes does create that feel. And you don't look at it and go, oh, what year is that? But you go, oh, it could be any year. But it's very simplified. And how in the world do you go about picking out the wardrobe for each of the characters in order to do that? Because that's a talent. Yeah.
I love fashion. I mean, that's one of those things. When I was a teenager, I've just always had a passion for fashion. And I also love shopping at thrift stores, which is so perfect for, you know, shopping for characters. And I try to have a color scheme for each of the characters, actually for the whole movie. And like one thing with Mitchell, it was a little bit easier to give the girls a consistent look, you know, and there's several things that we did, like you might notice throughout the entire movie, the girls are always wearing the same necklace. And
yes,
our story was that Grandma Rose
gave her that necklace. And I knew that, watching that. I knew that. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? You know, so
yes,
it just gives you little things. And now with Mitchell, we wanted a consistent look for him throughout the years, and so we came up with the idea of a sweater vest.
Yeah.
And so as a child, he's wearing a sweater vest. And then as a teen, see, nobody else when he's a teen is wearing anything like that. So he's kind of out of touch. And then by the time he's adult, they're back in style and everything. But it was funny because we actually had a sweater vest emergency because we had originally cast another guy as the adult, Mitchell. And then at the last minute, he had to cancel, and so we were very excited to be able to get Rich, but he didn't own any sweater vest. And it was about the time of year that all the stores had cleared out their winter stuff, and I went in to get sweater vests, and they had none. And I'm like, we've got to have a wardrobe of
sweater
vests. So
I'm
on Facebook going, oh, dear, if anybody has sweater vest. And luckily, Leanne Maloney, who's one of our actresses and also a PA, she was able to get us six sweater vest for him to wear.
Can you imagine?
That's something else.
You know, but it, But that's what is special about you as a filmmaker, you and Fred, is that you think of those things because that's what creates the beauty of your films, is those little touches that authenticate your characters. And they and you do a beautiful, beautiful job doing that. It is time for us to go to the concession stand. get your butter popcorn. And we're going to hold that thought. And we're going to go to commercial break. But if you'd like to call in and be a part of our conversation after we return, please call 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. I'm your host, Gabby G., and we'll be right back.
This is Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we want to thank all of our faithful listeners for tuning in each and every week. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please tell a friend and come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send us an email, message of interest, complete with your contact information, to info@atlantaliferadio.com. Again, send that email of interest to info@atlantaliferadio.com. And now we return back to our program. Gabby?
And we're back, and if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Me Radio, and we're talking with Sharon Campbell Wilharm, writer, director, and filmmaker of Faith Flix Films. For this particular filmmaker's episode, we've also arranged for a special guest caller to join us for today's program. And one of the many reasons that Providence, the movie, is so special is the soundtrack. It's an eclectic mix of songs that help tell the story by independent songwriters and musicians. And one such song on the soundtrack really resonated with me because it speaks to the soul of us here at Atlanta Life Radio, which is the song called Walking Stories that's featured in the movie by our very special guest, an extremely talented singer and songwriter by the name of Miss Jillian Linklater. Welcome, Jillian. Are you there? Thank you so much for being here.
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. We're very honored to have you. You know what? Your song is just the lyrics just pierce my heart. It's such a beautiful, simple song. Your voice is extraordinary. It's very clear and just beautiful, and it matches perfectly with your lyrics for this song. And we're going to play that song for our listeners in a couple of minutes. But before we do, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to compose the song?
Yeah, of course. So I had heard the words walking stories, and it just got me thinking just about how the chorus says we're all walking stories. And I was just thinking about the spectrum of what that means and how even small, seamless, people think they don't matter, you know, small stories that we think, you know, don't make a difference, all the way to the greatest story of love that the world has ever known and everything in between, how each of those has a purpose, and just wanting to inspire people to think about what their life is saying and what good they can do in the world, and just to be inspired by small acts of kindness and obviously mm-hmm. the biggest act of kindness. So that's kind of where I wrote it from.
And that was just coming out of your heart. You were feeling that way about how people's lives are so important and how they make a difference. Did you specifically write this for Providence, or was a song that you featured for the movie?
I did not write it specifically for Providence. Yeah, I had previously written it actually a few years ago when I was in college. But, just thinking about it, especially what I want, is me too, what I want my life to say, and what kind of giving myself a pep talk and thinking about, you know, what kind of things I want to do with my life as well. So I hope it can do the same for other people.
Well, it does, because it did that for me, and it did it for Melinda and everyone here at Atlanta Life Radio and media that have listened to the song. We really love it because it does speak to our soul. It embodies everything that we are stand for, and what we feel also, that everybody's life is important. Everybody, life purpose. Everyone's here for a purpose. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone's life, and so you take. They do, and so that's why we're here, because we all have a plan and a purpose. And this is the other thing that I love about the movie, and why this song fits so beautifully in that, is that it shows you at the end the emotion that you have is that in the simplest things in our lives, the Lord can bring greatness out of it through him. And actually, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be an actress, and I went to Hollywood and all that stuff, and with stars in my eyes, like everybody does when they're 20 years old. And I always felt like that I had something great to give, or the Lord had something great for me. And I was misinformed, or I misunderstood, and only took life experience, because I'm in my 50s now, and my life experience has showed me, and the Lord has shown me through my life journey, that greatness is in the simple things. It's in the everyday acts of kindness and just using the gifts and talents that God has given you to help other people. And what have you done for your fellow man, or how have you used your gifts and talents to help your fellow man? And that's, you're doing that beautifully. Sharon's doing that beautifully through her film work. And that's what we strive to do here at Atlanta Life Radio also. So thank you so much, because it really does lend a lot to the movie. And you just have a beautiful, beautiful soul, and it comes through in your work. And so I just wanted to go ahead then, Mel D, and listeners, I want you to really listen to the words of this beautiful song that Jillian Linklater wrote and composed. So, Mel D, we're listening for Walking Stories.
Expression of a life worth being told.
Well, isn't she just so talented? I love that song. I kept playing it over and over and over again. Jillian, thank you so much for being here and bringing that beautiful song to all of us. And I just look forward to seeing the movie and listening to your song once again on that. It's so beautiful. And at the end of the show, I'm going to tell everyone how you can find more information on that artist. Her name is Miss Jillian Linklater, and that song was called Walking Stories. We are all walking stories, another page to turn, a paperback expression of a life worth being told. Every step we take, another scribble on the page. We're all walking stories. What's yours going to say? Yes, every person's story is a life worth being told indeed. And I just really love that. And Sharon, the greatest appeal to me of Providence is that it's such a relatable story and has so many wonderful messages and emotions. It has. It touches on grief, loss, redemption, romance, forgiveness, faith, and love. I want to read Sally Matheny is a Christian film critic, and this is what she says that she has to say about the film Providence. Have you ever had a time of miscommunication, misunderstanding, or mistiming? Disappointments and missed opportunities have a way of pulling us into a way of melancholic party for one. However, the story in Providence shows God is able to pull something wonderful together to our seemingly fragmented lives. What life lessons, Sharon, do you hope people will take away from this film?
I hope that they will be encouraged. I have so many friends who are these beautiful, wonderful women who are single. And they get so discouraged, you know, because mm-hmm. they're seeing all these married people and they're seeing mm-hmm. people having children. And they just get so discouraged. And they were, to me, just an inspiration that I wanted to speak mm-hmm. to them and to encourage them and let them know that it's never too late, that God's timing is completely different than ours, and we have no idea what the future holds. And so I think that is the number one thing I want is anybody that's feeling alone right now to just be encouraged that they don't know what their future holds and that God does have incredible things for our future.
You know what? That's so beautiful because I had a great aunt. My father told me this story when I got married, and because I consider myself getting married late when I was 28 years old, and mm-hmm. I can relate to that feeling. And all my friends were already married out of high school, and by the time I got married at 28, their kids were 5 and 6 years old, and now they're grandparents. Then I took another 9 years to have a baby. I'm definitely a late bloomer in my life. And so I can relate to that. And you're right that the Lord, he has other plans, and also that you have to think about the fact that he may be getting your soulmate ready. He or
exactly.
she may not be ready. They might not be mature enough. They might not be in their walk with the Lord yet. Maybe they have life lessons they have to learn yet to get you ready, to get them ready for you. And the timing of how you're going to meet and the circumstances, maybe you need to get ready so that you can work towards that meeting that he has orchestrated and planned out for you. But my father was telling me when I got married, he goes, I had an aunt that said she was 50-some years old, and she had never been married, never thought she'd ever get married, but she wanted to. But she said, it's too late for me. I'm, middle-aged. And she met some wonderful man, and she got married. I think she was like 56. And my father was laughing. My father said, never say never. Because here she was, like 56 years old. And that's not old because I'm 55. But I felt like mm-hmm. that when I was 28. So, mm-hmm. When you feel ready emotionally to have a life partner and it's not happening, I think it makes you feel even lonelier. But this story, which I don't want to spoil anything, so this story is amazing how it evolves and how you sew that beautifully, the ending. So it's just really awesome, and it really does
solidify those emotions and those feelings at the end and let you know that it is never too late. So you just did a beautiful job with that. And the other thing I want to talk about is something that I think everybody kind of wants to know, because I want to know it, because I want to talk about your I know that you have a Valentine's Day weekend release for February the 12th, and it's in select AMC theaters across the country, and we can talk about that, because I want you to tell me what town it's in and when the where the premieres are going to be. But I want to talk about a movie premiere just in and of itself. Because whenever you think of the Oscars, which is like the epitome of, the movies, and it's all exciting, and there's red carpet, and they're standing in front of what's called a step-and-repeat with all the sponsors in the back and getting their pictures taken, and you have all the red carpet interviews coming through and the crowd. So can you tell us what a movie premiere is like to put together, how you find the theaters, and then really what it's like to be a part of a movie premiere?
Well, it's a lot. We've kind of learned as we've gone along. It was interesting. This is our first movie to actually have a theatrical release, and so we're learning with that. It was funny, when we did Flowers for Fanny, I wanted to provide that experience for our actors, that whole, red carpet event. And so we actually had the premiere at our church, and we got the local funeral home to provide limo service so that the actors could park in the back parking lot, and then the limo would drive them around the block, and then they got to arrive at the front of the church in a limo and then walk down the red carpet.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. So they had a lot of fun with that. But this is just unbelievable, having the movie screening in theaters across the country for an entire week. And if it does well, then another week, and, another week. And it's just extremely exciting to think that God is taking our simple little silent movie, a little love story, and getting it into theaters, including L.A. and New York City at Times Square, which we never, ever expected.
Well, can you tell us exactly what towns it's all going to be in and when your premieres are? You have one in Atlanta. Is that previous to the one in New York, or at the same time?
Well, they're all releasing the same time on Friday the 12th. What we're doing is at every single – we have seven locations where it's going to be showing, and at every single one we have arranged to have either ourselves or our actors will be doing a special Q&A. So that people in that city will have an opportunity to talk directly with people involved in it. And so Fred and I will be doing the Destin, Florida one. We'll be there on Friday, the 12th. And this is really exciting to me because Destin is my hometown.
Aww.
And so it's so great to be able to go to my hometown, and a lot of my friends from high school, friends that we knew when we first got married, friends that when we, were a young couple, all these different people from our lives are going to be able to go to that one, and we're looking forward to that. Even I wrote a blog about my high school teacher, English teacher, who used to teach us. It was very important to her about literature analysis and with symbolism and all this imagery stuff. And at the time, I had no interest whatsoever. And it was kind of like algebra, where I'm like, I am never, ever going to use this in my life. And it hit me with this movie. I have used all that stuff that she taught me. It's in my movie. And so I wrote a blog about it, and some people shared it, and she actually got to read the tribute that I wrote to her. That's just so exciting that we're going to be in Destin. We're also going to be in Jacksonville on the 10th, and we'll be joined by two of our actors, Lanny Smith and Brianna Beaton. And so they'll be joining us there. And then we'll be in Atlanta on Valentine's Day. And then we'll be in Charlotte, joined with Irene in, on that Monday, the 15th. And then we've got in Tulsa Julie Tapkin, who's the one of the leads, that is her, where her mother lives, and she grew up in Oklahoma, so she'll be the hometown girl doing that. And that'll be on Friday opening night. And then Friday opening night at Times Square, we'll have Rich Swingle and Stacy Bradshaw, Emily Knapp, and then Apollonia Davalos. That'll all be there. And then finally, on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, we'll have Katie Pavel and Gretchen Mosby at the one in Orange 30 in L.A.
Wow.
I think that covered
well,
all.
You know, congratulations. Let me just say that because that's amazing to be able to get your – it's a shame that we have to have this gap between mainstream and Christian film.
Yeah.
it is, but that's changing, and it's due in part to filmmakers like you and Fred who have these beautiful movies that speak to the heart of people because I think the country is ready. They want this. And I think it's beautifully in the theaters. And I would suspect that people go back again and again. I know I'm going to. because I think you appreciate a second time. You can see different things again, experience different emotions. And again, the music and the soundtrack by all the artists, not just Jillian's, but all the artists and the songwriters there need to be celebrated because their music is all adds to the music, and it does help tell the story. So that's the other beautiful way that you portrayed this silent film is through the music and the lyrics of the stories in each of the scenes. That was ingenious way to do that, and it works beautifully, and it's smooth, and I never had a moment in the film where I said, what's happening there? I don't get that. You understand exactly what's going on, and I read a sweet little story that a true story that I wanted to ask you to tell, and it's about Rich Swingle, who plays the grown-up character
yes.
of Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
She has a special story. He has a special story about that, about when he was coming down an elevator or an escalator in New York.
Yes.
Can you tell us that little story? It's really sweet.
It really is. He and his wife moved to the Manhattan area in 2008, and they went to go see a movie at the Empire 25 there in his neighborhood. And it's a beautiful, impressive theater. And he was going down the escalator, and he said a prayer that someday he would be going down that escalator after having seen a film that he was in. And what's really interesting is that even though at the time he was a professional actor, touring all over the country doing his one-man performances, he had never been in a movie. And it wasn't until another 2 years before he had a role in a movie. And he's been in 20, but this
wow.
is the first movie that he's been in that's going to be showing at the Empire 25. And so
wow.
He and his wife were able to go to the movies like last week, I think it was, and
uh-huh.
our trailer is currently showing before Brooklyn and 45 Years there at that theater. And so they went to go see Brooklyn, and there was our trailer with him showing on the screen there. And so he was like, this is the first part of that, you know, answer to prayer. And then, of course, on the 12th, he'll be going down that escalator again after having his movie showing.
Isn't the Lord beautiful what he does for people? And
yes.
it's, and for the actors, too, not just for all of us,
mm-hmm.
but just because, you know, we're all individuals. We all have dreams and aspirations and gifts and talents that we want to do for the Lord. And it's so sweet when the Lord rewards you back when you
yes.
When you work towards your goals for him. Isn't it wonderful that God does that back for you? He, like, that was a little dream in his heart, and the Lord did that for him. And I just love that. I think it's such a beautiful story. And so shout out to you, Rich, because you held that in your heart, and the Lord did that for you. And so I'm just thrilled for you for that, because I just think that's really sweet. I wanted to ask you how we can purchase Providence. After the movie is shown, is it going to be available to watch on DVD? How can we rent or purchase it?
It will probably be a delay because the movie lends itself so well to a bigger screen. Mm-hmm. We're first, you know, focused on the AMC, and then we are looking at the different options to getting it, you know, to a broader base, to more locations. Just like a one-time thing. We're still looking at all the options, but we want to fully provide people with that before we do DVD. So it will be on DVD eventually. It's just a matter of when.
The reason I asked you that
is,
yes, it is. It is everything, and we will pray that it will reach all the mainstream. We'll pray that it will be the Star Wars of the Christian film. That's really what we want, right?
Oh, yeah.
That you won't even have to look it up. You just know whatever movie theater you drive down the street, it's going to be playing. And that's our goal. But the reason I ask that is because where I live in, outside of bedroom community of Philadelphia, and mm-hmm. I never got War Room out here. It was an hour or so away.
Oh, wow.
It was in neighboring places, but they were an hour away. And with my schedule, I just couldn't make it. So
mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for it to come out. So now it's not in the theaters. And I have to wait for it to come on demand so I can download it to a DVD. So I just wanted to make sure that if there are people who want to see the movie and not able to because it's not in their local area, that there's another option. But let's just pray and hope that it'll be in every theater across the country within the next few weeks, because it is a special film and you did a beautiful job with it.
Well, thank you. And we will be asking, like, where are people wanting to see it? And so as we look at our different options, you know, that's something we want to find out. Are there people in Philadelphia that want to see it? Are there people in Iowa that want to see it?
Oh.
You know, so, and then looking at what our options are in each of those markets. So if they do want to see it, go to our Facebook page and tell us, you know, I want to see it in wherever they're at. And especially
great.
If they tell us the name of a theater, you know, like the name of their theater for us to be able to look into.
Or perhaps we can go to our own. We have something called the County Theater, and it's out in a place mm-hmm. called Doylestown, and they show a lot of independent films. So I could go to them and say, hey, can you play? This is a great movie. Can you play that? And how will we go about doing that? Have them contact you?
Either way, or if you do that, or tell us, you know, to get with them. However you can make it happen is fine with us.
You just put a bug in my ear. Okay, I'm going to be working on that. Well, unfortunately, Sharon, our time is up for this week's program, but I just want to thank both our very special guests, writer, director, and filmmaker, Ms. Sharon Campbell Wilharm, for taking the time to be here with us this morning to talk about her beautiful new film, Providence, and also to the very talented singer-songwriter, Ms. Jillian Linklater, for sharing her beautiful song, Walking Stories, with us. Thank you both, Sharon and Jillian.
Thank you.
I appreciate it so much, and it was an honor and a pleasure. If you would like to find out more about Jillian Linklater, you can go to her website at www.jillianlinklater.com. You can like her page on Facebook, and you can find her also on Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube as well. Plan your Valentine's date now, as you will not want to miss out on the February 12th premiere of the movie Providence at select AMC theaters across the country. To find out again how you can purchase or see the movie Providence, or get more information for that, you can go to www.providencemovie.com, www.providencemovie.com. Or to learn more about how you can support FaithFlix Films, you can go to their website at www.faithflix.com, and that's FaithFlix.com. You can also follow them on social media on Pinterest, YouTube, iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Don't forget to like their page. Up to Me Radio will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. when we will feature Mr. Kenneth Lee Kirkpatrick, CEO of KLK School of Welding and Theory.
Ken is a self-made success story and entrepreneur who uses his welding business as an outreach for his local community. It's fabulous. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Atlanta Life Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own up to me moment. Then come back and share it with us because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you.
To be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
sleepless slumber. We can do this no longer. Me afi say, wake up and live. Your life is full of purpose. You must see that you're worth it. Again I say, wake up and live. From your sleepless slumber, we can do this.